The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-ESPN. And if you missed the first hour, there was lots of good stuff. We had Eric Sandler on, and everything was going really well until he insulted AJ right at the end.
Yeah.
Apparently. I'm going to have to go back and listen.
Yeah, check the tape.
I'm going to have to check the tape on
Jon,
that.
Jon, what'd you think?
I don't think he was insulting you.
Okay.
Well, I mean, but this has been a very thawed relationship, so I think you have to be extremely careful with what you say. AJ danced around a lot of things nicely. I think he wanted to say some things, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So, we're out here at the Hyatt in the Galleria, and it is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, and guess who's in the house?
Me.
No.
Oh, someone.
Phil Garner's in the house.
Phil Garner is in the house.
So if you want to come out and meet Phil, you can do it. All you got to do is come on out here to the Hyatt in the Galleria, which is a great place if you are looking for a weekend getaway.
Phil's looking fashionable, too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. For like an older gentleman, Phil, he's got some moves when it comes to getting dressed. He's got like, I don't know if I would call those pants plum colored. And like a periwinkle shirt and some Italian looking shoes and like some purple socks to match the pants. I mean, it's strong.
It's very Jack Nicholson Joker.
It's strong, man. Like, that's a good look. That guy knows what's what.
Yeah, we're going to have him on at 5:30.
So he got this hot wife, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. 713-780-ESPN. And, yeah, if you missed the first hour, all available on podcastarena.com. Really good stuff. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday. So when you call, when you text, when you tweet, when you send a raven, when you come streaking naked through the Hyatt with something
don't
written on your chest.
Don't do that, please.
Well, it depends on who you are. Put odds on it. Just put odds on it, whatever you do. How's that?
Okay.
So I'm getting like, what are the odds an NFL team signs Manziel? I know that the Patriots talked to him a lot yesterday. I hope for his sake that he goes and plays in Canada for a year. Show me that you're actually not a complete knucklehead anymore. I mean, I think he needs to – I think that would be better for him. I think it would be better for I just think it would be better for him and for teams because, listen, I've heard all this BS he's saying now before. Remember before the draft? Oh, I've changed. I've done all this. I'm feeling great. You know, I made some mistakes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's saying all the same stuff now. Prove it to me. Go up and play for a year. Don't get arrested. Don't get drunk and fall off a balcony. Don't do lines of coke in a bathroom in Vegas. And throw for a bunch of yards in Hamilton. And if you do that, you know what? An NFL team's going to give you a chance.
Yeah.
And if I'm an NFL team, I that's what I want to see. Prove it.
Yeah. No one should just give this guy money and take his word that,
we all
that
know
he's changed.
As we all know, the Patriots do their own thing, though. So.
And if there's any place that could get away with doing it and probably make it work, it's the Patriots.
Yeah,
they'll flip him for a second-round pick next year.
I mean, they hit Ryan Mallett's weirdo-ness.
Yeah.
So, Drew from Texas said, one ticket to the Astros home opener bullpen seats will be my first game to attend. Anything I should know in advance aside from the obvious of not getting out of my seat until in between innings? That's the main thing is just don't walk in front of people.
Yeah.
You know, when play is going on. But have fun. That's great for you, man. Donald said he used to steal these from the paper stands back in the day. And he's got another one of Earl, and it's those Chronicle Sports, like, poster things that they put into the in newspaper stands.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of cool. Russ wants to know if we can get a
Stealing is kind of cool?
No, I mean, it's kind of cool that you collected those.
that
it's not cool
them.
That you stole them.
Right.
Because that's against the law, and
that
it's wrong.
That took money out of your pocket, possibly.
Back then, yes, it did. Now, not so much. But
and plus, somebody else probably bought the next paper, and that thing was gone, and then they didn't get their souvenir.
You know what used to drive me nuts is I'd see people go and put in, at the time it was a quarter, they put a quarter in for their paper.
I get like three
and
newspapers.
And they take like six or seven.
Come on.
And they go stand out on the street and resell them. It's like, part of me is like, okay, that's enterprising, but it's also stealing.
Yeah.
There's people... There's homeless guys who need that money.
There's homeless guys who do that job,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is that like,
not anymore. I don't see them out anymore.
I don't see them either. I used to see them all the time. But I'm wondering, were they sanctioned? Like, was that?
There were guys that they hired to do that, yeah.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of a decent project, you know? It's like, bring these guys a bunch of papers. They make a little money and it's all good.
Like, what's the percentage workout?
I don't remember what it was. I mean, they're not making a ton of money doing that, trust
right.
me. And like in the distribution process, you'd have like one main guy who's got a bunch of people who distribute for him. So he's
right.
the one making – it's like America. That's the one making all the money.
Okay.
Everybody else is just kind of getting
that was you when you worked there.
Well, I wasn't a distributor.
You made all the money, though.
I did okay at the end.
Yeah.
But 713-780-ESPN is your number. And I just want to say I did post my bean story to SportsMap. Please go and check it out if you haven't already checked it out on my other website, just because – I want to beat Patrick Creighton today.
Good luck.
And if I can't beat Patrick Creighton with a good bean war, then I just don't think it can be done. What are the odds Michigan wins it all?
15%?
Yeah, I think that's about right. On the flip side, what are the odds of a Loyola versus Kansas matchup? And also ask AJ his thoughts on Loyola plus 5.5.
I don't dislike Loyola plus 5.5. I've bet Loyola every round of the tournament and haven't been disappointed yet. But Michigan's so good defensively. The under in that game is probably the play. As far as a Loyola Kansas matchup, I've been wrong before about Kansas.
Yeah.
I didn't think they could beat Duke, but Villanova is basically a better version of Kansas. They are they're a team that chucks up the threes, and Villanova hits them at an absurd rate. They're the best shooting team. They've got they're the best ball handling team. I just think they're a better team.
And I've kind of invested in Villanova here.
I would be I hit them at plus 145 once the Final Four started because I said I just can't picture another team beating. I mean I can't look at these other three teams and say yeah. Those guys could beat Villanova in a big game that matters. It's hard for me to imagine.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Hey, not that anything really matters in when it comes to preseason baseball, but did you see Vlad Guerrero's walk-off
in
Montreal? That was pretty cool.
That was right before he got sent to the minors.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, he's one of those guys. I bet you'll see him up later in the year.
I think you'll see him early 2019. He's still very, very young.
But he's pretty polished for...
He's a good player.
And he's their top... Ooh, I'm just looking at
the Super Doppler?
Yep, I just went to the Doppler. And there's a lot of red and yellow bearing down... Ooh, and some purple.
Dude,
ooh,
I've got to walk...
Dark purple.
I've got to walk back to the station after this.
So do I. Oh, wait a minute. There's a ESPN truck out there.
But they're going to take forever to get ready.
Oh no, they're not. They're going to take us back first. Then they're going to come get their stuff.
That's a good move.
We're gonna pull a dickweed move on them. Yeah,
hey,
there's like the darkest purple in one of these things. Is that a tornado? Is that what that means?
I don't know. I'm not a weatherman.
That's like north of that's like I-10 and between I-10 and 45, so northwest. Like way northwest, more west than you. It's looking really bad. That's my weather report for the day, brought to you by me. And sportsmap.com, where you can check out my bean story. How's that?
That's good.
Is that a good plug for SportsMap?
It's the best. It's a tremendous plug.
It is a tremendous site. It's the best site. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of other good stuff on there. We've got a Joel Blank video with Mario Elie. We've got our This Week in the WWE from Jose. That's one thing he does right.
What did he write about?
Cena tries to get a response from Undertaker as Nakamura plays mind games with Styles. I don't know. I kind of delegate the wrestling because I don't know anything about it. So Josh does that.
Like, you think that's a good read?
Well, if you're into wrestling.
If you're into wrestling, didn't you watch?
Yeah, but you kind of want to, you want the recap. A lot of people watch games and then they read our recaps.
Okay.
It's very similar. People would read a Game of Thrones recap if we put it on there.
Probably so.
Even though we talked about it. Lance has a funny piece on how everybody hates him this time of year on Twitter because he does his mock draft. His mock draft 3.0 is out, too. We could talk about that at some point. Dell writes that Houston's a favorite. How does that feel for a change to be front runners instead of the
Astros?
Dogs? Astros and the Rockets being,
The Rockets aren't the favorites.
I don't think they are either, but.
I mean, they're actually not.
No.
Like, Vegas decides who the favorites are, and it's not the Rockets.
Point being, you got a team that's actually winning
for
a change, and you're not looking for the other shoe to drop. Of course, I would.
Oh, I kind of still am.
I would say, as somebody who's a University of Houston fan, that shoe already dropped. And Jerry Bowe's gambling guide, he has how to profit off the Rockets in the playoffs. Basically suggests a mechanical parlay, which is something we've discussed many times on the show.
Does he say bet the Rockets until the Western Conference Finals and then get out?
Well, that's what I would do. But I mean, his thought is if you think that the Rockets are good value, they're like plus 345 right now. Well, bet them again. They're going to get a better series price against the Warriors.
Yeah, they'll be a plus.
Bet them against the Warriors, and then the finals is going to be. There'll be a minus, but it's not going to be a huge minus.
Yeah.
You'll make more than 3.5 to 1.
I agree with that.
So it's a pretty good strategy to me. Though, if you're going to go with that, then start with your $100 in the first round, even if they're minus 400.
Yeah,
and just do it that way.
And that way, you've got a little bit added into it.
You might have it may only be 150, 160 by then.
Exactly.
But still.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Republic Harley-Davidson. I went down the other day and test rode a Road King, and it was awesome. If you haven't seen the new 2018 Road Kings, they are out of this world. And you may be saying, well, AJ, you don't live close to Republic Harley-Davidson. I don't care. I know that there's probably 4 or 5 dealerships closer to my house than Republic, but they don't have 7 master technicians. That's way more than any other Harley dealer in Houston. You know the job's going to get done right. They don't have some hourly employee taking apart and putting together your bike. You don't want to deal with that. They've got a world-class inventory, about 100 brand-new bikes on their showroom floor, every model, every color you could dream of. And outside, they've got a huge selection of pre-owns. And right now, when you buy a new Harley at Republic, maintenance for life. I've been to the other places in town. I've talked to the staff. They don't compare to what they've got going on at Republic HD. Off the charts, professional, knowledgeable, friendly, and they're going to get you on the Harley of your dreams. Whatever your Harley needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, Republic Harley-Davidson, the best in Houston. They've got financing for everyone. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or online at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley-Davidson.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at the Hyatt in the Galleria, where Stormageddon is not happening yet, but apparently it is in other parts of the city.
It's coming. We're all going to die.
281, what are the odds these street flooding will be so bad we get the day off work tomorrow? Gosh, I hope not. I think we deserve to not have any street flooding for about 2 years at least. 936 says, I'm on 99 in Tomball, and I can't see the vehicle in front of me. It's coming down pretty hard over here. So, and then 713, so how would you hedge a $10,000 ticket on Loyola to win? What is he pointing at there?
Oh, he's saying it's raining now.
Oh. Yeah, but it's barely coming down over here in the beautiful Galleria. That's why you need to get here now before all that stuff hits. You come up, you meet Phil Garner, you hang out here, you have a few drinks, and Blitzer guys or maybe some ladies from out of town will be here at the bar, a little lonely. Maybe you could make friends.
How would you pronounce or how would you hedge a
$10,000 ticket on Loyola to win?
I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it, but especially because they're going to be a dog in both games. I mean, I would just do I don't know. I would – whatever you – 10,000 to win, I can't even imagine what that payoff would be. But I can't imagine that anyone has a $10,000 Loyola National Championship ticket.
Yeah.
But if they did, for whatever reason, I mean, I would probably – I'd have to know what it pays, like what the ticket's worth. Like if it's
– Yeah.
If you got it – since the Final Four started, I mean, you can't really hedge that because that's the bet you made. But
right.
If you got it before the tournament,
and you're looking at like a $100,000 score, then yeah, there's all kinds of ways you can play that.
It's easy. I mean, I'd bet,
probably 15,000-20,000 on both games if they were to happen, and still be happy with my $80,000 return. So
yeah, or the 5,000 you make, basically.
Yeah.
So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And do you see Peyton Manning has reportedly turned down Fox now?
No.
So I'm guessing he just doesn't want to do TV. I think he'd be good at it, but I don't really blame him.
I mean, he's got a lot going on. You know, dude's got plenty of money. He's in a lot of stuff. He could also just be waiting for the right time. Maybe he wants a couple years off, hang out with his family. And
yeah.
Can't blame the guy for that.
No.
Hey, did you see this thing on ESPN.com where they did the top 100, but no one cares about that. Today they announced the 25 most influential players in the history of the NBA.
Okay.
Run through some of this. They've got George Mikan at number 25, which...
Okay. They still did news on typewriters back then.
Right. Listen, he was a great player when black guys weren't allowed to play in the league. I mean...
Well, that was when they weren't even on TV.
Right.
So I don't think you can be that influential at that point.
24, Tim Duncan.
Too low.
23, Elgin Baylor.
Too low.
22, they've got a handful of guys. It's basically the guys who were the first group of black players in the NBA: Earl Lloyd, Chuck Cooper, Nat Clifton, Don Barksdale, Watt Mosaka.
Okay.
Number 21, Steve Nash.
Shouldn't be higher than Elgin Baylor and Tim Duncan, but that's okay.
Number 20, Dirk.
That's fair.
Maybe a little low, even.
Maybe even a little low.
Best European player ever.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess Nash, if you bring Canada into play,
yeah,
maybe that helps, but...
Number 19, Phil Jackson.
As a player?
No, just
influential. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Number 18, Pat Riley.
Higher than Phil Jackson? I'm going to go, okay.
Maybe because he's had success as a GM as well.
Yeah.
Number 17, Shaq.
I think that's too low.
I think so, too.
I mean, if we're talking about influence, besides being a great player and winning titles, I mean, he's
they had to change the rules. I mean,
but he's also one of the faces of the NBA now on the TNT show. I think that counts for an awful lot.
16, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Great. Love him here in Houston. Not as influential as Shaq.
I don't think so,
maybe
either.
Maybe not as Dirk, as much as Dirk either.
Number 15, Kevin Garnett.
Too high.
I don't think too high because, remember, he was the first the first of the latest generation of straight to NBA from high school guys.
Yeah, but I always think of Kobe as the most successful of those.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, and we're talking about a great player, but as far as influence goes, that's too high for me. He shouldn't be ahead of Shaq.
He was the highest earning player in NBA history, is the highest earning player. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, isn't, like, Rashard Lewis way up on that list?
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Number 14, Chuck Barkley.
Another one that, much like Shaq, very popular post-career, too. Very influential. So, probably a little low for both those guys.
Number 13, Allen Iverson.
About right.
Yeah. That guy carried the league when it was, like, at a bleak time.
Yeah, he was the best of a very bleak time. And the league also kind of went downhill there.
Yep.
So I think that's about a fair spot for him.
Number 12, Kobe Bryant.
Too low.
Okay. Number 11, Jerry West.
Well, he's the logo. That seems a little low, too.
Yeah. Number 10, Steph Curry.
Going to go with too high this early. Ask me again in 5 years. Maybe he's there.
Well, one thing's established. He's the greatest shooter that's ever played the game.
What if he hangs around for 3 years too long and shoots 25% from three and his career numbers go down? I need to see more from him before I can put him that high.
Okay.
I think he's in the top 25, but has he really been more influential than Shaquille O'Neal?
I would say no.
Yeah. So, I mean, 10's too high.
And it's easy to say because he's more modern, but, like, the NBA today looks a lot more like Steph Curry than it does like Shaq.
It does, but... And, you know, with social media and everything else, I think there's a much bigger presence with him than there were for guys even during Shaq's era.
I also think as like an influencer, like the way that kids will grow up playing the game, every kid probably thinks they can be Steph Curry now because you don't have to be big. I mean, you basically just have to master.
You have to weigh 105 pounds and be able to shoot like a fiend.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Like, it's easy to say, oh, I want to be the next Shaq. What's difficult is growing to 7'3 and weighing 350 pounds. That's the hard part. So, I don't know. I have a hard time gauging where Steph should be as far as influence goes.
That's too high, though. That I can gauge.
Number 9, Larry Bird.
Hated him,
mm-hmm.
but probably fair.
Number 8, Dr. J.
Yeah, that's pretty
Sounds
good.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Number 7, Oscar Robertson.
Fair.
Number 6, Kareem.
Feels a little low.
Okay.
Kareem was one of those guys that changed everything.
Okay. Here's the top 5, and okay. You tell me which one of these guys you'd bump. Okay. Wilt Chamberlain?
Would not bump Wilt.
Bill Russell.
I would bump Bill Russell.
I kind of would, too. Like, I'm in the camp of – I know Bill Russell's got a lot of championships. I know he's a winner, 11 NBA titles.
In an 8-team league when he had 4 other Hall of Famers on the roster with him, overrated.
He was
– Overrated.
A decent scorer, but I always have a hard time putting him in the conversation with guys like Wilt and Kareem because –
Wilt's another guy they changed the rules for.
Yeah.
They didn't change him for Bill Russell. So, no, that's way too high.
Now, I know
top 25, but not top 5.
Now, Bill Russell did – he was an activist. He did a lot for the black player, which I guess you have to give some credit there.
Still not top 5.
But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Number 3, Magic Johnson.
Fair. Jordan's got to be 1, so –
So you can guess who number 2 is?
No, who's 2?
LeBron James.
Okay.
Yeah. You may have heard of him.
No, haven't.
Yeah, LeBron James 2, Michael Jordan 1.
Honestly, I think you can play with that order a little bit with the top 3. I think you can make a case for LeBron at 1. I think you can make a case for Magic, less of a case than you can for LeBron.
Yeah.
I have no problem with those rankings, but I could make a pretty compelling case for LeBron as number 1.
I think 1 and 2, I wouldn't have argued either way.
Yeah, well, in Magic, I think, like I said, the guy had a TV show and everything. I
mean,
he did a lot of other stuff off the court afterwards. But again, before and the thing is, I think with social media now and the fact that everything that LeBron thinks is on Twitter, I think he has a lot more influence than Jordan does. And I don't want to get into the who's a better player thing because that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
But I think you can make a pretty big case for that. If Steph Curry's 10, then LeBron almost has to be 1. But I think Steph Curry's too high at 10.
I mean, it's
in the modern era, you have more influence now as an athlete.
There is no one who has been as hyped as LeBron James who lived up to it and maybe more than LeBron did.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when's the last time someone said, this is the can't miss, the slam dunk, amazing, this guy's going to be the future, and they've been a bust. It happens all the time. Like, this guy, they got it right. And he was all of that, and he was better than I think anyone ever imagined him being.
Remember how good O.J. Mayo was supposed to be?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't LeBron level, but he was supposed to be. Even Andrew Wiggins.
Harold Miner, they called Baby Jordan. I mean, there was – but this guy was what was advertised and more, I think.
Andrew Wiggins has become a good player, but he's not what
– He's not that level.
No, he was not what he was supposed to be.
No.
All right. Is that music? Do I hear music?
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Guess who's going to join us? Former Astros manager, player, and sharp-dressed man, Phil Garner.
He is a handsome fellow.
Indeed. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at the Hyatt in the Galleria, which is an awesome place. And if you're looking for a weekend getaway, and like I know we have a lot of folks listening over in the Golden Triangle. Hey, come on over for the weekend. Stay here at the Hyatt. The bar here is fantastic. You come out now, you'll beat the weather. You get a chance to meet Phil Garner, who's sitting here with us now, former Astros manager, player, and maybe one of the most famous mustaches in all of sports for the longest time.
I would argue it, yeah. I'm more impressed with these pants. What color would you call this?
I would call this very stylish.
I do, too.
Very avant-garde. I mean, I'm with it.
Let's call them plum.
Plum,
what I thought. Yeah. And then you've got matching socks with it.
Yeah.
Did your wife pick this out, or did you do that all by yourself?
No. I've been known to.
That's your thing. You're a fashionista.
I'm a fashionista, yeah. My day we call it fashion mavens, but I guess
okay,
I
get, same thing.
I can get up with the lingo of the day.
Now, does it worry her that you go out dressed so snazzy? I mean, all the ladies must be flocking.
No, because I generally get food on my shirt and pants within 10 minutes.
Anyway, there you go.
So baseball starting up. How much fun was it for you to watch the Astros last year?
Well, I've been over the years. I love participating in any of the sports, but I'm not I would call it a great fan. I don't go to games. I don't sit and watch a lot of them on TV. But Altuve a couple of years ago started getting to me, and I really enjoy watching him play. I mean, he personifies what a lot of managers and people in baseball say. You know, have fun. Just have fun, you know. And Willie Stargell used to say, hey, when they start the game, they don't say work ball, they say play ball. Well, if anybody personifies what playing and having a good time is all about, it's Altuve. So I really enjoyed getting to watch him play. And then it was catching, and the whole team winning. The city kind of got into it. I mean, I had a blast. I know everybody else did, too. It was great.
I think they got so lucky with Altuve to have him for so long, and for really at such a discounted price, because you don't get players like that for cheap anymore. I mean, it's almost impossible to have an MVP caliber player making almost a league minimum, really. And I'm glad they decided to take care of that guy long term, because I said for years, if Fred agreed, they should have just torn up his contract and given him more money just out of good faith.
Well, perhaps they tried to. You never know what happens in some of those situations, but I'm glad it happened. I happened to be over in spring training, and I was at Jim Crane's place called the Floridian one morning. He came in and said he'd just gotten off the phone with Boris, the agent for Altuve, and he was hopeful they were going to get him signed. And I had my fingers crossed, because Boris has not been really good about letting those great type A free agent player signed back with the original team. So I was excited to hear that they got it done.
How much of that is a guy saying, hey, I want to stay here, get me a deal done?
Great deal of that's the player itself. You got to give Crane credit for making the commitment to get it done too. But I think in large part, Jose said, look, do what you can to make it work here in Houston. So I tip my hat to him for that.
How hard is it? And you've managed a team that went to the World Series. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. But to go that far, play that many games, how hard is it the next season to avoid a hangover? I mean, they've got – and obviously they were even better when they had a guy like Gerrit Cole. They've got so much talent on this team. But how do you avoid that hangover?
Well, I don't see that they're going to have a hangover. And a hangover to me is do you forget a little bit things – you get a little cavalier about your workout habits and how you feel about your approach to the game. We won it. You know, I don't have to grind as hard as I did the last few years. I didn't see that in spring training, not at all, and I don't hear it from AJ when he talks about the team. So I'm not so much concerned about that. But what does concern me, and I played in a World Series team in 1979 with Pittsburgh, and just, you know, in 1979, we had a couple of things came to mind immediately. We were talking about this the other day around the golf course, you know, talking about how good the Astros really are. Saying, you know, in 79, we had Tim Foley, who was batting second. We had Omar Marino, who was our base stealer. And twice during that year, they had pitch outs. And when Marino was stealing the base, and Foley threw his bat, actually threw his bat, left his hand, hit the ball, and went over the first baseman's head and landed right on the line. And so going fast forward to 1980, those same plays, he missed the ball, and those balls that were just on the chalk were 2 inches off the chalk, and they were foul. It's almost like the gods of baseball said, you know what, your time was 1979. 1980, we're going to let somebody else do it. So I hope that doesn't happen to the Astros. And let's face it, they're good. And I think I agree with you, kind of alluded to it. I think they're actually better this time this year than they were last year, certainly on paper.
Right.
And a full season with Verlander. And so I just don't see that that they're taking this thing cavalierly or they're very complacent.
So I want to take you back to 2005 because that team did not start off very well, and there was this knucklehead at the Chronicle who put a tombstone on you, who I know that guy very well.
Who's that knucklehead?
What a dummy.
Yeah. But there was a thought process behind it in my defense. But, no, you guys start off poorly, but really it was just a matter, you know, guys were pitching well. You guys just weren't scoring runs, and then you just kind of grinded and grinded, and then when the season got going, you guys tore it up. I mean, what was the key to that?
Well, I don't know. I don't. You know, you try to go back and you say, because everybody wants to know that what was the game, what was the player or whatever happened. I think probably if I'm going to say one thing, it was probably when we got Berkman back full steam right there. You know, 3 months in the season, he'd had some injuries, he'd had some problems, and then when he got going, it looked like everybody else caught on fire. But you're exactly right. We couldn't score a run the first couple of months of the season. We had some great pitching performances. We had good pitching staff, and we just couldn't put anything together to get anything going. So I'd say if there was any one thing I had to point to, it's probably getting Berkman back and him getting on a roll.
You managed so many great players during that, well, throughout your career. Is there one guy you stand out? And then I also want to ask you about the Hall of Fame with Roger, because to me, if he's not in the Hall of Fame, I don't know if there should be one.
Well, good that you would bring that up, because if you ask me, and I have managed great Hall of Famers, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, you know, guys of that caliber, and the one guy that I put above everybody is Roger Clemens, and I do that. They're all talented and super talented in their own right, and that's why we have the Hall of Fame. But Roger actually thrived in those situations. He loves being in front of the public. He wants to be the guy. And I mean, it's the criminal part of all this thing that's going on is that he's not in the Hall of Fame, and that's the one thing that he kind of needs. He needs it more than anybody else, I think. But when it comes to pure talent and his pure what he accomplished on the field, is, you know, a lot of people use the word body of work. He's a Hall of Fame guy, and I was at his trial. I testified at his trial in the federal government on, you know, what he had said. And there was a really telltale deal. The assistant general manager for Boston had been tasked with going back over Roger's career at the time. He was trying to sign a 2-year contract with Roger wanted a 3-year contract. Boston wanted to give him a 2-year. So the assistant GM did a profile of Roger's career, and his career went sort of like a half moon. It you know, it peaked as he'd gotten middle age, which they all do, and it just slid down. But he was in a band of performance numbers that whole time. One of the things you noticed in the steroid era, that the guys, you could see when they started taking it, because they'd be in that band, and all of a sudden they get to be 32, 33 years old, and wow, their performance numbers jumped 20%, you know. Well, Rogers never did that. So even if he did, sir, it didn't actually do a whole lot for him. So I did not see any evidence that anything was going on. I think he's a Hall of Fame guy, no question.
You feel the same way about Barry Bonds?
No, because I think Barry did
okay.
It. But let me. Here's
but
what
it's
the
a point
tough
of,
part.
It, there's no evidence that points to it. Like, you know, same with Roger. There's no.
No, Bonds did it.
But there's no.
There was a lot of evidence to
but
point to
there's
it.
No,
yeah.
There's no failed test that proves that
well,
he
that,
did.
Well, you're exactly
you're,
right.
You're
there.
Basically the same as Roger. You're taking the words of drug dealers versus drug users or alleged drug users.
Yes, you're right. But here's the other thing. Here's the way I qualified. I was totally surprised. I thought position players were the ones that would do it because you get bigger and stronger, and that the whole concept of pitching is you didn't want to be muscle bound. You had to
right.
You had to retain a great deal of flexibility. What stunned me in all this was how many pitchers were doing
yeah.
it. So there were a lot of guys doing it, and I hate to put a number on it because I have no clue what the number is, what percentage is. So you get pitchers that were facing hitters and hitters that were facing pitchers that all had done steroids. And so how do you, you know.
That's why I've always said take the best of the guys.
Because if
you assume that most people were cheating, which
yeah.
I wouldn't argue with you if you did say yeah. that there was a majority of the players in Major League Baseball were using
yeah.
at that time,
yeah.
whoever did the best, those were the best guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they still were the best. Barry Bonds was the best player before he started
Agreed.
Doing anything, and he was the best player when he was doing it. And I actually think, this is my opinion, for what I want. I think what Barry saw, he saw Mark McGwire and Sosa hitting all the home runs and getting all the glory. Barry Bonds knew he was the best player in the game. And so I think he decided, you know, I'm going to go out and try this, and I'm going to get it the right way. So he got the guy in California, Balfour Group, and all that to design something properly and tried to do it without going to the Gold's Gym or wherever you would go. I shouldn't say Gold's Gym, but wherever you would go to get these kind of things. And then he proved that, hey, I'm the best player. I'll go to the same level. You're going, I'm the best player. And he was. He was unbelievable at that time.
You know, if we've talked about this before, and obviously the 2005 season is the most memorable because it's when the Astros made it to the World Series. But you could argue that 2004 team was an even better team.
It was a better team.
They just didn't make it as far. I mean, were you surprised after the 2005, or, you know, in hindsight, the 2005 team is the one that made it to a World Series and the 2004 didn't?
No question, I was surprised. And we had a better team. Drayton was always famous about coming into the clubhouse and saying, you know, his catchphrase was, you want to be a champion. And then he would say, the next one, what can I do for you to help you be a champion? And so during the middle part of that season, I said, Drayton, there's nothing right now, but I'm going to ask you for something here pretty soon. So we got down to the trade deadline, and I said, I need another starting pitcher. I need another really starting pitcher. And we just couldn't come up with something that was, we felt like it was any better than what we had. And so in the end, the final game we had in St. Louis, we just ran out of starting pitching. We got down in that final game and just couldn't catch back up. So I thought 2004 was the team that we should have gone. 2005, we got a rookie center fielder, and we don't have Jeff Kent anymore. Biggio's going back to second base, things just clicked. I mean, it just clicked, and we played well.
Was there a pitcher that you remember in 2004 that you wanted?
No, there were a couple of guys. I don't remember a couple of names, but there were a couple of lesser-known guys that we thought like
could. You just needed somebody to eat some innings.
We need somebody that could – all I needed to get four innings.
Right.
All I did, we couldn't get out of the third.
Yeah.
That was what it was. Because we had the bullpen lined up.
Yeah.
From literally, if we got to the sixth
seventh
inning,
on.
we were unbelievable. If you got us to the sixth, we were – because Qualls was pitching really well. Wheeler was pitching really well. We were solid. If you could get me five innings, you know, we were really good.
It gets talked about a lot, but the impact of Pujols' homer in 2005, because suddenly Brad Lidge isn't the same pitcher even against the White Sox. You have to push back Oswalt to win that series.
Yeah.
How much did that affect going into the World Series? Would it have been a different series if you could have lined it up with Oswalt? If you still have
– if I start with Oswalt and start off the series, yeah, instead of having a plan. It's a good question, and it's a good discussion. I don't know. I literally don't know. It was, you know, it was a great story. We go into St. Louis, and Roy pitches the game of his life up there, and so we get into the World Series. But and when I look back on it, there were close games, and the only thing I can, you know, say about the World Series, would it have changed if Roy had been the first starter instead of Clemens? I don't know. But what was indicative for the series for me was when they got into tough at-bats, they stayed in the at-bats longer in the tough at-bats. In each game, all four games, when there was a key moment, they fouled off our quality pitches, and then if we made a mistake, they put it in play. And we didn't do that, and that was the turning point in the game. We had good at-bats, but just not as tough at-bats as they were having in those situations. And the one that was most indicative was the game when we got back here that Roy pitched, and we were ahead in the game. It was in probably the fifth inning, and their big right fielder was at the plate. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but he fought off about 12 pitches of Roy's, and Roy threw him a really good breaking ball on like the 13th pitch, and he rifled it into center field, scored a couple of runs. Next couple of pitches were in the middle of the plate, and bang, bang, you know, they hit him. So the game turned on those little bitty nuances, and so each game did. So I don't know. Had it been a difference? I don't know. I'd love to go back and see, because if we get that pitch to Pujols where we want it, which was about 3 inches lower, he swings and misses. You know he's going to swing, but
Yeah, and then Lidge wasn't the same in the series after that either.
Well, he gave up one home run to Podesta, which was the only one he hit all year that year, and then he was okay after that. And then people forget that he went back to he left and went to Philadelphia and blew him right through the whole year. Didn't lose a save, go right to the World Series. You know, he was phenomenal. So he did come back from it.
All right, that's Phil Garner and confession time. You were always one of my favorite players when I was, especially when I was in high school. You and Denny Walling over at third base for the Astros. Even
high school? That. Wait a minute. Yeah. You can just throw me a bone here and say college or something.
And I don't want to tell you, I'm an old man. So I'd love to make you feel better, but you look better than I do at your age. So there, you got that going for you. But man, appreciate you spending some time with us. Good stuff. Hopefully, we can do this again.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
All right, and if you want to meet Phil, come on out here. And in fact, you want to beat this weather because I can see the weather coming. So you need to come on out here to the Hyatt in the Galleria. And, guys, baseball's starting tomorrow. How about this? You like fantasy, daily fantasy? How about draft? Draft is daily fantasy, but it's nothing like the other guys. On draft, you get live snake drafts with other people just like in your season-long league. And I've been doing this for hockey. I'll be doing it for baseball starting tomorrow. And it's really cool because if you get a great player in your draft, nobody else in your league has him. It's not like the other daily fantasy where you go and pick, okay, I'm taking Justin Verlander today, and then five other people have him. Big deal. Well, not in this. You get him, nobody else does. It lasts for one night. You're done drafting. That's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You just set it and forget it. And if you're like me, you just check your account the next day and say, well, look, I just won another hockey win. The best part, you play for cold, hard cash. You get paid out the next day. Drafts are as low as a dollar, by the way, so there's a draft for everyone. Join me on Draft today. Just search Draft.com in your app store or play right from your computer on Draft.com. For a limited time only, all Blitz listeners get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit. So go do it tonight. But you have to use promo code FRED. That's right. Play a real money game for free just using my promo code FRED when you make that first deposit. Search Draft in your app store or go to Draft.com and enter the promo code FRED, Draft.com.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back. Come join us at Tastemakers April 4th at Silver Street Studios. We'll have amazing cuisine from Houston's top restaurants with an open bar. An open bar to get Blitz, you say? Don't mind if we do.
Who wrote that?
I did not. Whoever did? Okay.
I wrote that.
Tickets are on sale now for only $55 at culturemap.com/tastemakers. Grab tickets while they last because tickets at the door are $65, and you will get a chance to meet really cool people like Eric Sandler.
Who's to blame for that, John?
Me.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay. I think it's really interesting. But speaking of interesting, Beth's in the house. I'm not sure Phil and Carol Garner know what to make of her.
I don't think anybody knows what to make of her.
Yeah, I think that's so. Anyway, she will be joining us here in the next hour. We will push the gem of the day back. We went a little long with Phil, but I enjoyed that interview. So
it really comes down to what anybody else thinks.
If we're having fun with an interview, I don't really care if we go over. So, and you know, us wouldn't care is Aubrey.
No, he wouldn't. Aubrey Theodi. Guys, now's the time to save big on cleaning your carpets, your air ducts, your tiles, your upholstery with dirt-free carpet. Right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase, which means you pay for one room. They'll clean the second one absolutely free. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Go chemical-free with dirt-free carpet. They got the best technology in the game. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning your upholstery, your tile, your air ducts, whatever. They can clean it all. And if you call now, tell them you heard it here, you'll get one room cleaned free with any purchase. And they're going to throw in a free speed drive valued at $150. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.